Well, hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. My dear longtime friend, Candida Royale, also known as Candace, is known for her erotic films featuring plot lines that are really female-friendly, from the female perspective. And we spoke of those on this program April 23rd. So if you didn't hear that show, go back in the archives and listen to it. Today we're going to address sexuality and cancer. And these two words, you know, a lot of people, they think that they just don't go together. Welcome once again, my friend Candace. Hello.
Hi, Diana. And, hey, if I can just jump in real quick and say that I would actually describe our talk as maintaining a healthy, active sex life while dealing with any significant health issue and illness issue, you know?
Perfect.
Yeah, and I'm going to be sharing my own experiences and making some recommendations that I hope people will find interesting and helpful.
I'm sure they will, Candace. You think about things carefully, and you have a great life experience and perspective.
Thank you.
And why are you willing to talk about cancer and sexuality?
Well, you know, as you may recall, when I was first diagnosed 3 years ago, I pretty much kept it under wraps. I asked my friends to keep it to themselves, and I guess I was afraid that people would automatically assume that I was kind of, you know, they could just write me off now and, you know, look, they would feel sorry for me or look at me like, oh, I'm the person with a serious illness, you know, the horrible C word. And, and I mean, it's hard for me to even say it now. And then, you know, when it came back, I mean, I've had great good fortune in terms of keeping it at bay, but, you know, it's come back a couple of times, and I realized that people listen to me. They turn to me for advice on all kinds of matters and to do with sex and relationships, as they do you. And they, so, you know, how could I not share my experience? How could I not be completely truthful with what I'm dealing with now? And as you said, I do think a lot about things. I'm always looking for the best way to cope with any life situation. So naturally, I'm doing a lot of research about how to deal with this and how to deal with my own sexual issues. And I just think that I could end up really helping others that might be dealing with the same thing or might know someone who is or might one day deal with it themselves. It's epidemic, unfortunately.
Yes, yes, it is. You know, there are, it's estimated that there are 13.7 million U.S. cancer survivors.
Oh.
And this number is projected to increase to almost 18 million by 2022.
Oh, my God.
And the number of women experience treatment-related sexual side effects is expected to spiral upward.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think, you know, this is often a taboo subject, but we need to talk about it. And I'm so grateful that you're willing to do that, because cancer, of course, can have a profound effect on all aspects of quality of life, including physical, psychological, and the social dimensions. And you've experienced this in the last 3 years.
Yes.
We're good friends, and I've talked to you often, and I'm aware of all of, well, maybe not all of them, but many of the transitions you've been through.
And you would be, because you are one of my closest friends, and you're such you're an incredible listener. You're very thoughtful about life and the things you go through and what people go through. And you really did give such amazing advice. And I'm not just saying this to plug you. You don't need that. You have your own radio show, but you really do. You're just an incredible friend and an incredible therapist and advisor, and you give great advice. So I take advantage of that. I exploit you.
Oh, well, I am very complimented, Candace. Honestly, that's really, really nice.
Oh, and the other thing, you would ask me why I'm willing to do this, and it occurs to me that very quickly, it's also because I'm amazed at how unprepared or ill-prepared the medical community, the doctors, the very doctors we rely on, they're not prepared to deal with the issue around sexuality. And even in where I go to one of the most respected, world-renowned cancer clinics in the world, you know, Memorial Sloan Kettering here in New York City. And I didn't know for, I would say, almost 2 years that there was a sexual health clinic. And I suppose part of it's my own fault because I didn't explore their website enough, but you know, a lot of people probably don't, especially when you think that, many of the people getting cancer are middle-aged and older, and not all of them spend much time on the website. And so I thought, gosh, you know, we really need to get doctors involved. We need to let people know that there are doctors that will work with them and that there's great advice to be had.
There is a question that many women patients wish their oncologists would ask more often. How's your sex life?
Yes.
The question would at least open a conversation on what cancer patients and experts say is a neglected area. The sexual fallout of chemotherapy and other cancer treatments.
Loss of desire is a big one. And, you know, I think it's because they're not comfortable dealing with the sexuality. They're not trained. Yeah. And granted, they're probably worried that some women will be, upset or thrown by such a direct question. But there's ways to frame it that can be much more tactful, and you know, or not that yours wasn't tactful, but that can be very kind of soft-spoken, kind of, you know, just very easy on the ears and maybe won't throw them for a loop. But I think women would be so, and men, and their male patients. Oh, my gosh, all the men that are going through prostate cancer. I mean, this is a big, terrifying issue for them.
Yes, and their partners. And I want to do another program dealing with men and cancer and sexuality and their partners, and we'll do that.
And other than cancer, I mean, all the men that are going through diabetes and heart trouble, those illnesses really impact their ability to make love, and the medicines, the meds they have them on, can be really debilitating.
Absolutely. There's a woman named Leslie Shover, and she is a clinical psychologist and researcher at MD Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
another
big cancer center. And
that's
has studied the sexual problems of cancer patients for 30 years.
Oh, wow. Really? Did you say her name again?
Yes. Leslie, S-C-H-O-V-E-R.
S-C?
C as in cat, H-O-V-E-R, Leslie Shover, I think it would be pronounced.
Oh, I'm sorry. Spell the last name again.
S as in Sam, C as in cat, H as in home, over, O-V-E-R.
Okay.
And and I'm quoting her now. There might be 30 or 40 mental health professionals around the country who know about sex therapy and who know about cancer. Women expect that their gynecologists are experts in these things, but they aren't.
Right.
General gynecologists are surgeons and obstetricians and have little training in women's sexual problems.
That's right.
Pretty shocking, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is. I mean, I understand that we could go. I guess this is what we're going to talk about. But I do understand that they get a lot of training. It might be hard to fit all of it in. But, gosh, you know, at least to be able to say we have a clinic here that can deal with all your sexual needs. This is how you reach them in case you would like to. That's all they, you know, or put it in a form letter. But when you're diagnosed or when you're going there for treatment, that's all you have to do. You don't even have to do it yourself. Just send them to the right people. Let them know it's out there.
So what was your experience, Candace, with Sloan Kettering and the center there?
Well, the head doctor is, interestingly, a woman. I believe her name is Dr. Carson, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And she works with a wonderful nurse practitioner. Oh, gosh, I'll see if I can recall her name while we're talking. But I found them to be really wonderful. They, from the very minute I walked in, they made me feel completely at ease.
Mm-hmm.
They were very upbeat, very warm, very very compassionate and empathetic, and they were very and very smart. Just really got right down to business.
Yes, yes.
I left the first meeting there. They did a whole pelvic exam. They listened to my issues, my concerns, a very extensive pelvic exam. And I left there with a whole bunch of, not overwhelming, but, you know, instructions what to do for the first month or 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I loved what they called it. They said that my first month was going to be, I did write that down. It was really cute. Vaginal rest.
Vaginal rest.
Yes.
I've heard that from a client with cancer. Vaginal
uh-huh.
rest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In other words, they didn't want me inserting anything inside.
Mm-hmm.
They sent me, you know, now we'll probably get to that, but you know that I'm a big proponent of doing the Kegels. I have in my Natural Contours line out, we have our energy Kegel barbell, and so I'm really big on that. I've been doing Kegels, but, you know, after...
Wait a minute. I just want to say that I recommend the energy to lots of my clients.
Oh, thank you.
It's weighted.
Thank you.
It goes in the vagina, and just like with any weight training, you need something to bear down on.
Exactly.
Very effective.
Yes, it really is. Thank
you so
much.
For doing the Kegels.
And
yeah.
Very attractive looking, very, very pretty.
Yeah.
Very elegant looking.
Oh, it is. And
yeah,
you can use
really
either
is.
End of it, which is sort of nice. One end is a little bit more rounded than the other.
Yeah, and a little more weighted than the other, so
uh-huh.
you have your choice. But
you have
And they come with very good instructions.
Yeah, and so tell people
yeah.
where they can get more information about
well,
the energy.
Well, if they go to my website, they can there's a link right to naturalcontours.com or just go to candidaroyale.com, and that's two L's and an E under Royale, and they'll find it there. So thank you for that. And,
you're welcome.
So I'm no stranger to Kegels, but I have to say that after the radical surgery that I had to have first,
mm-hmm.
where they pretty much take everything out, and I was so, my body was so traumatized that I just, you know, I really hadn't been actively self-pleasuring or doing my Kegels, so I really needed to get back to the frame of mind, even just thinking about sex. And so they sent me home with the instructions to do just a ton of Kegels, nothing inside, just doing the Kegels, and to use, I had to use both an internal moisturizer every other night and then every day to put on a very nice lube on the outside around the vulva.
Yeah.
And I do want to just say right off the bat here so it doesn't get left out, you know, they will tell you to get, as far as the moisturizer, of course they recommend the very obvious things like Replens, but, you know, those are all, they're all based on, what is the oil from... Oh, it's not a natural oil. You know, it's the kind of stuff that you fill your car up with. I can't think of the word. It's terrible. You know, one of the effects, unfortunately,
I know,
chemo,
I know,
is that.
But
you,
if it has to do with a car, I'm not going to be very much help.
I'm trying to think of the oil.
I scored lowest on mechanics. In seventh grade on the Cooter preference test.
Exactly. Me too. That's the thing. But, you know, it's the kind of oil that they use for everything. Oh, God, it's very mechanical.
Well, you know,
it may come
back to you, and a lot of our listeners will know.
The point is, I wanted something natural. And
of course.
So what I found, what was recommended to me, was Carlson Key, and that's, I'm going to spell that for anyone that might like to have that information. That's C-A-R-L, S as in Sam, O, N as in Nancy, Carlson, and the name of it is Key, as in the key to your door, dash E, as in vitamin E. And it's nothing but pure, they're little suppositories that are pure vitamin E, and you insert them. And I found them on Vitacost.com, and where Replens was about $15 or $18 for something like a pack of 12, these natural vitamin E ones were 24 of them for $8 on Vitacost.com.
Oh, yeah.
So I highly recommend that. And in terms of a wonderful moisturizer for around the vulva, just every day when you get up, I would recommend also, you know, medical type vitamin E, just something you get in the drugstore, or again, pure coconut oil. And I found the absolute best. Coconut oil, even it's also for lovemaking. It's the most wonderful lovemaking lube, and it's called Love Butter. And I found it on a website to a wonderful store in the East Village of New York. It's all natural products, a lot of raw products, a lot of it made from honey, from bees, the bees' honey. And they can find it at live-live.com. That's live-live.com. Love Butter, 3.5 ounces for $9, and it goes a long way. And it's lovely. It's just pure coconut oil, and it smells delightful. And it's great for lovemaking.
Those are very good resources. I would add one more, and I discussed this with you off the air. And I've tried these, but I don't have cancer, thank goodness. But they're lovely natural products, and they're a little more expensive. But it's body2body.com,
right.
And that's body, and then the number 2body.com.
Okay. I'm writing that down too.
Yeah, and just you can go on the website and read all about it. But they are some really quality products. Because vaginal dryness is huge. It's pelvic radiation therapy can narrow and shorten the vagina. It
That's
can
right.
decrease its elasticity. It can disrupt blood flow. And all of this can impede sexual response, of course.
Right.
And
That's
derail
right.
one's sexual self-image. Can we spend a moment before the break, yes, we have time, about sexual self-image, because this is greatly disrupted for women with cancer.
Yes. It really is. And, you know, it's they even said to me, and I didn't get to my second appointment, which I will share with you, but they even said to me, like I expressed concern over lack of desire, the feeling not, you know, you know me, and I've had such a wonderful, sexy life, you know, I've almost never been without a serious lover or out on the dating circuit when I wasn't. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm finding myself with very little motivation. And they expressed to me, as did a counselor, that they felt that once I got my sexual tone back, my vaginal tone, that would help me get my confidence back.
Mm-hmm. And did it?
Well, we're still working on it.
Okay, yeah, you don't know quite yet. Yes.
So,
yeah, I mean, you've had, here you've been a filmmaker, you are a filmmaker. and these wonderful erotic movies from the female perspective, but your whole life has been about sexuality and enhancing pleasure, and then for this to happen to you,
it's ironic
and sad. It's really sad, and I have so much compassion for you, my dear friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But now you're going to help others.
Exactly.
And, you know, John Wayne, who had cancer, I love this quote of John Wayne's. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great quote. That's a great quote. I have to write that one down because I am going to start. I've blogged about it a bit, but I'm going to start really being more actively sharing this information on my own website. I agree. You know, I get a lot of accolades for being courageous and positive, but you know, I always say to people, well, how else can you be? I don't know any other way to be when faced with such a life challenge. I really don't. I suppose there might be some people that kind of buckle under and curl up in bed and not want to do anything, but I can't imagine being anything but courageous and looking for the bright side. And that said, you know, there's another book that I want to recommend highly. I send it to everyone I know who's diagnosed with cancer. I don't know if there's time now or if we should wait.
Yeah, there's time. Talk about it.
It's a book called Cancer, 50 Essential Things You Can Do. It's something like that. It's by Greg Anderson, and it's extremely practical and hands-on, but it also broaches the spiritual aspect, the thing of being positive, and it changed my whole attitude and outlook on my cancer. And it was just brilliant. It really helped me so much, Diana.
Yeah.
And there's one thing I will point out that just kind of really epitomizes it. He said, when I say the word cancer, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? And, of course, the words were, I'm going to die.
Exactly.
And I realized, oh, my God, I'm living as if I'm dying. That means I'm really not living. And I learned how to see the positive aspects of getting cancer. And I know that might sound like an oxymoron. How can there be such a thing? But there are. And just my own, the first thing was realizing that getting cancer gave me permission that I needed to stop doing the things I no longer wanted to do and start living and doing the things that I've put aside for my career all these years. And I wanted to, and I did, and it's been great. But now I really have a reason to live my life doing the things that I've been longing to get back to. And that is thanks to getting my cancer.
I think,
and that's just
you often, perhaps people that are threatened with this sort of illness, it makes you want to stop wasting time, to start living your life better.
Yes.
And give what you can while you can.
That's right.
In all the relationships that matter.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, a little word of advice to your listeners. If you know someone or close to someone with cancer, be careful about the always telling people, oh, you know, you must stay positive. It's all about you've got to have a positive attitude. You'll do great because you're positive. That can only go just so far because after a while you get sick of hearing it because really it's true on the one hand, but it's not the whole truth. Because on the flip side, does that mean that when you finally do succumb to your cancer, which usually means, you know, some kind of side effect or the medicines or whatever, does that mean you weren't positive enough?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it puts too much onus on the patient. And you got to be careful with that. You can, if I say it about myself, yes, you know, but that's great. You can compliment me, but don't recommend it. Don't start, you know, going all like, oh, you've got to be positive now. That's what's going to help. That's what's going to do it. It's just, it's too Pollyanna-ish, and it's too simple, and it really, it's not. It's like, I love when I hear people say, well, I prayed to God to, you know, to save me. But then it's like, well, what about the people that weren't saved? Did that mean that God decided not to help them? It's just a little too simple. And I realize that may be a touchy example, but
it's a touchy
really
example,
true.
But you know what? It's really important to say it.
Yeah.
Because, well, even Bernie Siegel in his famous classic book now, Love, Medicine, and Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
He touches
which you
on
sent
that.
Me. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah
does,
I
huh?
did send that to you, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he touches on that.
Well I think so. It's been a while since I read
coming
it. Maybe.
From him, well, he probably did.
Yeah.
Coming from him, I mean, that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you don't want to feel guilty as a cancer patient.
Right.
Or as a survivor.
Right.
If the cancer comes back, and
right.
I mean, this can't be useful to recovery if you think, oh,
right.
I just wasn't positive enough,
yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
pray enough, or I didn't do enough. Now, we
yeah.
know that support systems are really important.
Yes, they are.
And I know, because you are such a good friend, that you have good friends.
Yeah.
And you have...
Right.
You really do have good support systems.
Yes, I do. And thank you for reminding me, because that's another resource that I really want to share with people. And this is a book for the caretakers. And
Yes, talk
yes.
about that. I remember you're talking about that in one of our personal conversations.
Exactly. It's
so we have just about a minute before the break, but see if
okay,
you can get it
in. Called Share the Care.
Share
the Care, and it's by my friend Cappy Capicella and Sheila Warnock. Now, I will have this stuff up on my website shortly. So
good.
I may not be able to spell everything out, but it's called Share the Care, and it's all about the fact that many of us don't have family around. Many of us live alone in New York City or in other urban areas, and you can't expect one, even if you have family, you can't expect one person to do all that caretaking. You get burnt out, they get burnt out, but this is a book all about how to build what they call a funny family, and a group of close friends get together, really set up a team. It's done very methodically. They have lists, time frames, who can do what, who's able and willing to do what time of day, who's going to take her for appointments, who's going to get him the food and the meds he needs, who will come in and sit and talk to them for an hour. You know, it's all the things you realize that people need. You can't expect one or two people to do it all. It's my sister came the first year, and she spent 4 months away from her home with me, and it was devastating. You know, it was very difficult on both of us in the end. She was exhausted. She was really, you know, she came wanting to be Mother Teresa. It was way too much to expect of herself. I always tease her that she left. She ended up becoming Nurse Ratched. She hates me for that. But we're sisters. We have history, you know.
You made some humor.
Exactly. Oh, please, the things she was saying to my friends about me, I could kill her. But that's the thing. You know, the second time I was diagnosed, my dear friend, Diane, oh gosh, I'm really losing my mind.
That's
but
right. Just
she knows who she is. But my friend Diane, she put together my team. And then when my dear friend, Veronica Vera's husband got brain cancer, I put together a huge team for her. We pulled together a huge team that helped her care for him, that helped them with their business dealings. It was great. So, like, I was able to give back what people had given me, and it just
yeah.
felt great. And I'll tell you, it's the best way to feel incredibly loved. People love to help. I couldn't believe how people from everywhere were coming out and offering me their help, anything they could do. And they love to help, and you end up feeling so loved and cared for. It is truly the best therapy.
Of course.
So share the care. Share the care. That's what it's called.
Share the care.
It's online. All they have to do is type it into Google.
Right, right.
And they'll come up with the book.
That's perfect. So we're going to go to the break now,
okay.
Candace, and when we come back, we'll talk more about this.
All right. And I want to describe my second appointment to also.
Okay, good. Please
all
do.
Right.
E se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore. Ma i tuoi piedi
We are back, and Greg, our wonderful producer, tells me that we have a caller, and I think that I know the caller. She's given me permission to say that she is indeed my client, and she has cancer, and she's a very sexual woman. And Rebecca, welcome to this program, and thank you for calling.
You bet. This is amazing. I want to thank both of you for all the resources. I have about a zillion tabs open on my computer now, because every time one of you rattle off a new resource, I Google it really fast and pop the tab open so I can save it and investigate them at my leisure in a deeper moment. So
Great.
It's been really helpful to me, and I'm a mad researcher, too, and every single thing you guys have talked about was new to me, so there are more resources
that's great.
Than I thought. Yeah, it's really exciting. Well,
yes.
And I guess I wanted to call in for a couple of reasons. I had my second radiation treatment yesterday, and I'm kind of in recovery from that. I am actually presuming I'm cancer-free. My diagnosis was uterine cancer. It was early stage, which is helpful, but I had to have some radiation follow-up, so I had a radical hysterectomy in April, and then I'm having three sessions of vaginal brachytherapy, which is high-dose radiation deep in my vagina at what's known as the vaginal cuff, which is what's left when you don't have a cervix anymore. And I have discovered that I'm 58, so I grew up in an era where we didn't talk about our lady bits in great detail and anatomically correct terms.
That's
and
right.
So as a feminist, I was part of the early wave of women. We had, you know, speculum parties and stuff in college. We had
we all
had our own speculums. It was fun.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was amazing. It was great fun. We were radical, our bodies, ourselves, you know, advocates.
Yeah.
And
me
so
too.
I,
me too. That book changed my sexual life as a young feminist back then, too.
Oh, I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I have discovered that people appreciate knowing explicit details like what's a vaginal cuff. Do I get rhinestones in my vaginal cuff? No, I wish I did.
A vaginal cuff?
A vaginal cuff. So when you have a radical hysterectomy and both your ovaries, fallopian tubes, and uterus are taken,
right?
Then you no longer have a cervix, which is what is at the top of your vagina. The radiology
doctor. Is that because of uterine cancer? Because they don't take your cervix for surgery for ovarian cancer.
I know, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the
cancer must have been in your cervix.
It was not, but that's the most common recurrent site is cervical neck and vagina.
I see.
So,
okay.
And because I'm postmenopausal, it's like, fine,
right.
Take it. You know, these are organs I no longer use.
You can
do what you want with them. So I was eligible for vaginal robotic-assisted surgery because apparently I have a great pelvic floor, such a good thing to know. And so they did an incision at the top of my vagina and pulled everything out that way and stitched it up. And that's called the vaginal cuff. So the radiation is targeted at the vaginal cuff because that's the primary site of recurrence. And vaginal cancer is nasty. So I don't want to get vaginal cancer. I'd like to be done with this whole thing. So my question, I've really struggled being postmenopausal and already having impacts on my sex life. And the last kid just finally left home 2 years ago. Thank God. Because it was just this is the whole parenting and the sex life thing. So I was in I was in trying to recover my sexual self as a postmenopausal kind of worn out woman, and I to this day wonder how much the cancer that my body was obviously fighting was contributing to my sort of suppressed sexual life and my overall exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like I'll never know that. But
right.
I guess my question is I'm balancing the emotional impact of having a life-threatening illness, the physical impacts of treatment, abdominal surgery, vaginal
right.
radiation,
that's
which
right.
just wipes me out. I was awake at 2 in the morning with what's known as radiation cystitis. My bladder
wow.
just really hurts. It's right mm-hmm. behind the vagina, so it's getting some impact from the radiation. And
wow.
I'm in pain, you know, so when you're in pain, the last thing you think about doing is the laundry and sex. And so
so what's your question?
Well, my question is, how are you coping with the balance? And what's your self-care process so that you can manage the balance of emotional health, physical health, and still be present to your sexual self?
Oh, good question.
I realize that's probably a doctoral thesis right there, but
no.
I just am really struggling with those.
It's a great question, and maybe Diana has some advice, but I'll tell you, I don't...
No, she wants your advice, Candace.
Yeah.
You're living it.
You know, I have to tell you that I'm not really doing a great job of that yet. I find that just getting up the desire to self-pleasure and do my Kegels
yeah.
is difficult because, you know, it's not like I have a boring life once I stop having sex. I have an incredibly full, and I have a lot of responsibilities, like it sounds like you do, but also I have a lot of things I want to do. And, you know, I'm not driven by the hormones the way I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that it's very difficult, and I think, you know, the problem is that you've lost your mojo, you've lost your motivation, so it's hard
yeah.
to push yourself. Plus, in some ways, I feel glad that I don't have a partner because I don't have to worry about the fact that I'm depriving someone, but I know that the truth is that I'm really depriving myself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so I just think that you need to, it's kind of like you need to have a talk with yourself. How important is it to get this back into your life? How important is it to keep this sex up, you know, for the sake of your relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I had a talk like that with myself a couple of weeks ago. I try to at least reserve at least one weekend morning to do my Kegels. And then I find that the best thing is that once you get all that blood down there, the walls are all flush with that blood, and that's what
mm-hmm.
can help create desire, and it makes you much more responsive to touch.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I always did my Kegels on the weekend, and then I would self-pleasure. And now I'm trying to get back into that, although I'm really supposed to be doing things which I'll talk about from my second appointment. I'm supposed to be using dilators every day or
yeah.
several times a week.
Yeah, I'm going to need to start doing that after
yes.
radiation sun. I think there's a waiting period. And I got to do a call out
yes.
to Babeland. I went to Babeland to get some silicone dildos because I went to a great workshop, South Cancer Care Alliance, on sex and cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurse held up the dilators, and she said, here are the ugly, cheap, plastic medical dilators. Here, in the same diameter, the nice, soft, flexible silicone dildos. Which would you prefer? And we all waved our hand and said, dildos. I went to Babeland in Seattle, and I walked up, and the young woman at the counter, and I said, here's what I need, and here's why. And she said, I know exactly what you need. They were so
good.
Prepared.
Oh, that's great. That's
awesome.
Great.
So I'm
but,
waiting,
you know,
but I'm scared. It's like, what's
yeah,
happening
see, that's
in there?
What I was going to say. You have to be careful because you really should be under a dot. You should be working with someone to do this because, yes, I got the ugly, plain dilators that are medical, but they're also free because my insurance paid for
yeah.
them. And
yeah.
the thing is that they come in about, I think it's 6 or 7 different sizes.
Yeah.
And I can assure you that those dildos, unless you use a butt plug, none of those dildos are going to be as tiny as the ones you have to start with. And believe me, I've only gotten past the second one at this point.
That's how tender I am, and that's why you really don't want to just be shoving things up there without working with someone.
You've
got to do this gently and carefully.
I think so, I'm going to go back to that nurse at Sale Cancer Care Alliance because she was doing this specific workshop on women and sex and cancer. It was really great. Before I started radiation, when I was starting to get, because they waited 3 months post-surgery to start radiation, so I'd really have a chance to heal, I got permission. I think I shocked one of my doctors by saying, can I have orgasms? Yeah, please. I know I can't have penetration, but I want to have orgasms. He's like, sure. So I started having orgasms with my husband, who is 14 years younger than me. And well, holy cow. It's like, oh, my God, you're 44. Can I keep up? So then as part of the pre-radiation, sort of my accommodating to this next step of what felt like invasion, I decided I wanted him, he's a photographer, to photograph me, to photograph my scars.
That's great.
To photograph my vulva, to photograph my body as it is, sort of wounded and aging and all that stuff. And it was a powerful, we spent a weekend with him doing really intimate photography of me, and it was a great experience. And it helped me, his love and appreciation of my scarred, rounded, wounded, soon-to-be-radiated vulva.
Wow.
Was so powerful.
Yeah.
So we're back
We're back
to body image, and there is distortion, and then the more comfortable you can get, you have a great advantage, Rebecca, because I happen to know that your husband is, he's really supportive. You're very, very fortunate to have
really
somebody
supportive
like that. Because whether you create a real relationship with yourself, with masturbation is really important, sexual, but it's a true gift to glean from your experience and whether it's with yourself or with a partner. And don't you, Rebecca, do you feel like your relationship with your husband has deepened through this crisis?
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, having something that says, yes, you might die, really catapults one into intimacy in a way that I never conceived of was possible, even though I've had a lot of friends that had cancer. And now having the lived experience, and my cancer was not very advanced, so I've kept my physical stamina pretty well, which has been helpful. It's the emotional impact. And he's a deeply sensitive human being, and he's been really great. I mean,
you're
he's a feminist,
fortunate.
And I am fortunate, and I want, that's the other part, is I feel like I want to make sure he's not caring at all because I don't want to burn him out. And that's part of the balance in an intimate relationship that's really hard. I mean, he works full time. I'm able to not work full time right now, but he's carrying that load. So there's so many balls in the air that we're juggling.
You need to get that book. You need to make sure that you're bringing in your friends and whatever relatives might be able to help so that it's not all ending up on his shoulders. And I'm sure that he wants you to know that he's there for you, and he's probably saying he can handle it, but believe me, there will be burnout. And he'll feel guilty about it. He won't want to tell you, but there will be serious burnout. You definitely do not want it to all land on him.
Yeah, it's really true. And
the other thing to remember is that intimacy isn't just about sex. It's about holding hands and love pats and hair brushing and cuddling on the couch and long walks or just sitting in a quiet peace and reading together. And,
that's
of course, Candace, you stab all of this, and you're struggling because you're dealing with this alone. And, I mean, you don't have an intimate partner at this point in time.
Right.
And so,
well, but you know what? Let me also just jump in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
I shouldn't.
I want you to jump in because we're not about a pity party here. And, Rebecca, also, this is now a three-way conversation. So jump in when
you want
to.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things I want to get in before we – I know we have such a show. I think we have, like, 5 minutes left.
No, we've got a little more than that.
Okay. But I do want to just say one thing. I was at a group support group meeting, and to my amazement, you know, I was kind of expressing, you know, how sad it was to my timing. I was engaged, and about 3 years ago, I broke off the engagement well before I was diagnosed. I would say just a little under a year before, and I broke it off. I realized it was going to be a mistake. And I just think, you know, the timing is just so awful. But when I, you know, because now I'm going through this alone, fortunately with wonderful friends, but there is something very sad. I don't have someone to sit on the couch and hold hands with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that there's been a lack of interest on the part of other men. I just haven't felt interested myself. But the point I want to make is that I heard no less than two women out of about a group of about seven say that their partners, their husbands, were completely unhelpful. They were not there for them, and emotionally and physically.
Yeah.
And in some ways, it's worse because people assume that you've got this primary caretaker, and you end up not getting what you need from anyone. So there's no panacea, and just because you have a partner does not mean you're going to end up with this wonderful, joyous, loving, helpful person.
Exactly right.
Right. Yep.
So
and wonderful,
I think
joyous, loving people have their own lives and their own stresses and their own realities, so they're not wonderful and joyous and loving all the time. And we need to all be able to be human with each other. And so you're right, the concentric rings of supportive family and friends and the sister circle is so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, the strength has to come from within us in the first place. And, you know, here's an opportunity to really learn how to reach deep inside yourself and find the strength that maybe you never knew you had. And I know that's happened for me. No one ever knows how they're going to be in the face of something so incredibly life-challenging.
Absolutely.
No one knows. And it's a surprise to all of us, and I can only say that I think it's very good to go for counseling if you can. It's good to find a support group if you can, and just find that, but really you're going to have to find the strength within yourself. It's
right.
Also good to be, it's important to be a good patient. You know, I've heard of no less than two men who were very, very difficult to their significant others, to the point where one of them had to, you know, lay it on the line and say, yes, you know, I know you're going through hell, and I'm here for you, but you have to pull it together and not be so mean.
Very good and very honest.
Yeah. And you know what? He did. He pulled it together.
Yeah.
You know,
that's real true love when people can say that. I mean, it has to be. We're not breakable, fragile people. We have a life crisis, but we're still the strong, capable people we are.
Right.
And having people to call that out in us is a real support to healing.
Yes.
And I would like to put a plug in for Dr. Diana. I mean, it's been great for me to be in therapy with her. It's been really helpful.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Rebecca.
I think you're so lucky.
I'm lucky.
I wish I could find someone like you here.
We'll have a sister circle here, and I've got a hot tub, and we'll have a wonderful,
Thank you.
It's been great
having you jump in.
Yeah. You know, Rebecca,
we
in our last session together, we talked about Candida Royale coming on and talking about sex and cancer, and you said, I asked you if you'd be willing to call in because I know from our sessions how articulate and sensitive and just you've got great IQ and EQ, emotional intelligence. So, and you said yes, and I thought, oh, what a great addition to this program. And
hasn't she been,
Candace?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, how lucky
Thank
am
you
I
so
to hear
much.
You, too. And I'm going to sign off so you two can wrap, and I really appreciate that. I'm going to keep listening.
Thank you,
Rebecca.
And good luck with everything.
Blessings on your healing, Candace.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Bye.
So we had a mini group right here.
Yeah, that was great. And I wish it could have gone on for longer. I mean, there really is so much to talk about. And you can see how invaluable having this kind of support can be. I wish I'm living out in the country now, and I really don't have the support I have when I'm in the city. And it's,
I know.
I miss it. I miss it. There's nothing like close friends, girlfriends, male friends. It's really the best. And sometimes, for some of us, it's even better than the relationships we've had. So, like I said, there's no panacea. But, you know, I wanted to also say that I did remember the ingredient that I was trying to recall.
Oh, yes.
That the things I try to avoid are lubes, moisture. What is that?
I have
what
no
is
idea.
That?
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
Okay. I think we can go on. I don't know. That was something. Candace?
Don't like things like Replenz and things that are
yeah.
petroleum-based. It's a terrible thing. You should not be putting it on your skin. You certainly shouldn't be putting it inside your tender
yeah.
vaginal wall. So avoid the petroleum-based products. That's what I was trying to
and
remember.
And actually, I recall Rebecca saying in a session that for her particular cancer, putting vitamin E oil was not a good idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it might increase. So you really need to talk to your doctor.
Yes.
And
yes,
and many, many women are not so comfortable talking about sexual issues. Obviously, you're not one of them. Rebecca's not one of them.
Right.
But it's important. And if a woman listening out there who has cancer, she needs to maybe make a list, put it on a 3x5 card,
yeah,
and make sure that she asks the questions.
That's right. Go in prepared.
Go in prepared.
Go in prepared, yeah. That's right.
You know, even if a woman is self-pleasuring, and maybe we can spend a little bit more time on that, the time we have left, because I know you even had a section in Joan Price's book, as did I, but yours was about masturbation.
What was the name of her book again? Do you remember? It's a lovely book.
Yeah,
it's specifically
Better Than I Expected. About
that's the name?
Yeah.
Better Than I Expected, Joan
yeah.
Price.
And it's about great sex over 60. But
exactly. Yeah,
but whether you're having sex with yourself or with a partner, sex is very healing, and especially
yeah.
when it's done with higher consciousness.
Right.
So
right.
I think it's good to tune in, maybe late at night with a radio station, and don't zone out. Pay attention and respond to what feels good, and I
yeah.
expect you do that.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, as I pointed out to Rebecca, I think that doing your Kegels so that you get the blood there is also a great thing to do before having sex with your partner, because one of the problems, again, is just lack of desire. And, you know, even for women with partners. And so there's a magazine I have here that's aimed at women with cancer, and it says, you know, trisexual fantasies, extended foreplay, sensual body stroking is wonderful, exercise to improve your self-image, which is also good for dealing with treatments and stuff. Keep your body in shape.
Oh, yeah, that's so important, exercise.
Yep, and introduce more sensual pleasure into your daily life. And then what I would say is if you know you're going to have sex with your partner, go ahead and get your body prepared. Do some Kegels. Just squeeze the vaginal muscles repeatedly for a few minutes. That gets the blood there so that when your partner starts to touch you, you're much more sensitive already and you're going to feel more. So it's a great way to it's a great sexual prep. Is get that blood down there. And
sexual
you'll be
prep.
Much more, yeah, preparation.
And here's the music that we're ending.
Oh.
Oh, Candace. Oh, my goodness. Well, we really need more time talking about this. And we will have it, I hope.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Candace.
Thank you.
Thanks
for this opportunity to share.
You're so welcome. And
yeah.
Wow, how courageous of you to share and
to give back
and to help others. Thank you, Diana.
Thanks.
So tune in next week.
And CandidaRoyale.com. I just want to remind them.
I'll put it on the synopsis of this show.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Diana.
Thank you, Candace. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.